Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't get it. Podcast. Hey guys, we're just going to jump right into it. We got Oscar Gracie here because so many of you requested Oscar to come on and break down Taylor Swift's Midnight's album. We were just talking before getting, hitting record about all the different breakdowns we've done with Oscar. We did skip Evermore, and that's because Evermore is my least favorite Taylor album of all time.
Oh, really?
Is that a collective yes? Is that a collective yes?
Not for me. I think Folklore and Evermore are some of her best art, some of the best art she's put out
into the world. I'm not bringing Folklore into this. Folklore's fantastic.
No, I'm saying that sound. I didn't like Evermore. That sound in general.
It's hard. I feel like I listened to Evermore maybe the least, but it's not my least favorite, if that makes sense.
Do you feel like our least favorites are now becoming the original Taylor Swift album and such, because they're just, it's basically a totally different artist?
By default, I feel like, yeah. And lyrically, she's come such a long way too. But I feel like Taylor Swift, Taylor's version is going to really remind the girls why she was the hot country girl on the scene at just 16 years old. Our song's still a banger. So I think once that comes out, it's going to really reignite me on that album.
Yeah. Everyone's going to, right. I most resonate. I said this when we did the breakdown for Folklore with Country Taylor. And that's why I loved Betty the most on that song. And so I love what she's doing now. I love that her and Jack Antonoff are collaborating. I think they're great collaborators.
They always collaborate. This is the how many zillionth time?
Oscar? Yeah.
How many?
1989. Because he did Out of the Woods.
Wow.
I was going to say 1980. I don't think she has come out with a pop album that has been as good as 1989.
I think Midnight's rivals it, to be honest.
Do you really? Okay, so I love Midnight's. I think lyrics are incredible, but it's very cohesive, like an Ariana Grande album where a lot of the songs sound similar to me. And I don't feel like there's one song on there that I'm like, this is the banger. Like, I love Antihero. I love High Infidelity. And I love those songs, but there's no Shake It Off or Blank Space sort of big commercial.
I think Bejeweled is Blank Space.
Bejeweled? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe even Karma.
I want to preface what Naz is saying by, you have only listened to it a time or two, right?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it more than once.
Because I feel like every album sounds like that until you start listening to it multiple times.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Oscar, how many times have you listened to it now?
Oh my God, so many. My problem is that I hyper-fixate on one song at a time. So, I will go through a phase of listening to just one song, literally on repeat, no exaggeration, for days. Right now, it's Antihero, just, on repeat.
So good.
And I can't stop. I don't know. This album, what I love about
this
album.
You're the problem.
It's me. Yeah.
It's me.
I love this album, though, because it feels this combination of all her past eras. Actually, I came up with a theory today and it's exclusive just for you guys. And I think it's really good. I think this album is, especially with the tour, celebrating her eras. It's all the songs are from different parts of her life. As an adult reflecting on her different relationships and the things that inspired the past albums. So I feel like this album is kind of a combination of all the things that we loved about her other albums. And she's kind of repurposing it into this current sound and the style that she's at right now. So I think that's why I really, really love it. Because there's a little bit of Reputation. There's a little bit of Folklore Evermore. There's a little bit of Speak Now. And it's all there, lyrically.
Yeah. I love that you say that because Vigilante shit is very Reputation-esque.
Yeah.
And you're right. And it is a culmination.
Yeah.
Shall we dive in?
My My initial takeaway was that this was sounding like it was written during the Reputation era, but then she didn't want to continue the Reputation era with the next album. That these may have been like leftovers, not so much leftovers, but like ideas that she just fully formed. And then I said this to my friend who is a total Taylor Swift expert, and she was like, no, it's a little bit of every album. Each song kind of symbolizes every album altogether, which is why it's called Eras.
Yeah, that's literally exactly what I was thinking too. And I think that, like, I'm sure in the re-recording process, it brings back like the feelings, or just like having to relive like the memories of what inspired these songs.
Yeah.
Makes you like look back at like those experiences as an adult and be like, oh, actually that was really messed up that this person did this to me. And it kind of like re-puts you in that situation. It makes you look at it differently, which I think that's why I love it so much. Cause it's like literally us growing up with her, but then also like we're looking back at how we related to like, should have said no, like white horse, like all these things. Like, wow, like what the hell was I going through at 15? You know?
Right. It's
so true.
Yeah. And you look back and you're like, you're always looking at everything. You can never look at the past through that exact moment. You can only look at it through the lens of everything you've learned now. You can't unlearn anything.
True. Like, so if you're thinking of like Getaway Car, like if you're thinking of Getaway Car, and she's like probably learned so much and reflected on the entire like relationship of, in Getaway Car, that she may have made a song on this album that we may get to regarding her thoughts on Getaway Car now as a, what, 33-year-old or something?
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to change it up. So okay. So do you want to go song to song?
Well, Oscar, should we just go with like what you're resonating with the most and what you, or would you like to do every song? You're our expert. What's better?
I think it's more organized. It goes song by song. And if we don't have like a lot of thoughts, we can just like,
just skip. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Lavender Haze, everyone.
Yes. And Oscar, maybe describe why you think she picked this first, because we all know Taylor is very particular with the order of her songs and what she decides to open her albums with.
Little details of like what means what, if it does mean anything.
Yeah, I think this one, it kind of reminds me almost like a State of Grace, kind of. It's like, it's really ethereal. And I think it kind of encapsulates the album really, because it's like, well, you know, she loves color, like she sees everything in color. And I feel like this really encapsulates like where she's at right now in her life, as far as like she's kind of at peace with knowing that people are going to write articles about her, and that if she like makes some kind of appearance with Joe Alwyn, like it's going to be written about and people are going to speculate it. So I feel like she's like at peace with that almost. Like she just knows that's part of the job now, but she's not going to like let it get to her anymore. And I think like it's important to remember that she was such like a PR, like people pleaser. Like she loved positive press and she hated being like associated with a negative headline. But when you get to the bridge and she's like, get it off your chest, but get it off my desk. Like she's not even going to like look at it anymore. Like she doesn't even want her team to like bring that stuff to her. Like she doesn't even want to see it. Which I think is like, it's showing like how grown she is, that she doesn't care about that stuff anymore.
I love that reflection. Cause when you reach Taylor Swift's level of fame, anyone's level of fame, even if you're like an influencer or whatever, you have to come to a point where you're either going to battle that every day and actually care what everyone's saying. And even through all her documentaries, like Taylor's always been someone who really cared what everyone was saying. I mean, that's why Reputation was what it was.
Yeah.
And so I love that that's like what she started this album with.
So what is the Lavender Haze to her?
It's like for sure just like her relationship with Joe, like being in it and like having someone just like accept her for who she actually is, not like an idea or like what someone expected her to be. Like if you think about like All Too Well, like the 10-minute version, Taylor's version, where she has that one like line that said that Jake kind of thought she was just like a kind of like a sparkly jewel to like reflect him. But she's now like being in a relationship with someone who like it's not like that at all. Like he's just willing to like fully accept her. And the fact that she's like kind of like high off of it, you know, and that still like all these years later, I think like 6 years later, she's still like in the middle of it, you know?
Yeah. So nice. Every time I listen to her albums, I'm like, how does she still think of Joe in this sexy
sense? She wants to ravage him still.
I know.
Stop. That's so sad to me.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. She is, you know, that would be fast. I would kill to sit down and do an interview with her because I would do a real interview. I wouldn't do a Taylor Swift fan interview where I'd be like, where are the smoke and mirrors?
Barbara Walters style.
Like, as a human. You know, like, you are the romantic of our generation. Are you at sometimes bored around Joe? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and does she have to pull from memory to create these songs? It's kind of like how
I'm wondering if a lot of it's pulled from memory.
John Mayer literally would date people, according to Jessica Simpson's memoir, and like then break up with them in order to feel things, to write songs about it. So it's like a method actor.
Well, I think I've said this on maybe one of our podcasts, one of our Taylor podcasts, that you can go through the history of time when music artists are single. Often their music is better. And then once they stabilize, it gets bland. Yeah. And they just can't get their rhythm again, like literally and figuratively. And I think Justin Timberlake is a really good example of that.
True.
Because think about like the last time he had
although
like a
Mirror
real
was
hit.
Good and Mirror was obviously about Jessica Biel and that was
Mirror
his last
was pop. A but you know what that was about. Mirrors was about him trying to get her back and the way that he felt about her when they did take a break.
Okay, then that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Anyway, this is not a Justin Timberlake podcast. We can go back
but
it's what's so interesting is that Taylor, while in a serious relationship for so long, has been able to even amplify the quality.
Yes, and a testament to her journaling, maybe, and like her ability to write and reflect back and put herself back in something in the past.
Totally.
Because Oprah asked Adele the same question after Adele's concert came out at the... Remember that concert special?
Yeah.
And she's like, you're happy now. You're in a relationship. Like, what's the music going to sound like? You know, it is scary as an artist. So, yeah, Taylor's so good at that.
John Mayer is maybe onto something. All right. So now we're on a Maroon. And I just cannot believe how many, like, lyrics are in this. Like, there's so many words to read. It's like a fucking novel for me.
I know.
And I feel like if I don't memorize a song, a Taylor song, within 1 week, like every word is just coming out, I feel so defeated. I feel like I'm a terrible person.
I feel like a failure, but they're so hard.
So this song is so many lyrics, I just feel terrible. Okay, Oscar, what do you have to say about Maroon?
Again, I love that it's like right after Lavender Haze, because again, it's like color, right? And so it's kind of like the, like almost, obviously like lavender is kind of a mix of like blue and red. And I know she thought about this stuff too, because she's sick. So it's like lavender, you have like the mix of both, right? And then you going back to like maroon, it's like a deeper red. So that's how she, like, she's seeing the relationship. I honestly think, again, is I could be wrong, but I honestly get like Joe Alwyn vibes, like her those moments where like she doubted like the relationship or got insecure about it, and like
that makes sense.
Distance between the relationship. But still, like,
because she says, I was the one dancing with you in New York. Whenever I hear New York, I think it's Joe.
Me too.
And because even like on Lover and Reputation, there was like the love songs in those albums. There was like times where she got like insecure and like pushed him away because she like wasn't ready for it. So like when she talks about like, also I think the biggest giveaway is like the wine stain. Like how many times? Like every time she talked about Joe, there's always wine involved.
There's wine falling everywhere. It's like a drunk mellow dream. Maroon's one of my favorites. I just wanted to say that. I really like the way Maroon sounds.
Me too. Absolutely love it.
It's also one of my favorites, So my friend said that the theory is that Red, the album, the song, was... that's like a precursor to Maroon. This is Maroon is her version, not necessarily completely pertaining to Joe, but looking back on the relationship that Red was about, which may supposedly be about Jake. And this is her looking at it through adult eyes.
Love that.
I like that too.
That makes sense. I'm just looking at the lyrics here.
Cause now it's like more of like a bruise. Like she doesn't look at it as like red and shiny and like lovey. And now she's like, oh, that was like way darker than I thought it was as a kid.
Yeah. It seems very dark, like shaking and hazy and sobbing and hollowed eyes, like really, really sad, terrible breakup.
I love when,
That could definitely be about Jake or
John. That's true. I love when she says the word scarlet in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just always feel like there's like this witchiness sort of, you know, like revenge, like pitchfork, like, am I wrong for feeling this way kind of sentiment. And I don't know. I always think of the Scarlet Letter whenever she says Scarlet. This is my own.
I like it. I like the different, you know, uses of color again and all blood, scarlet, maroon, wine, everything. So she's got it all going on in here.
Okay. Love this song. What's after maroon?
What is after
Anti-Hero. Okay. That's so anti-hero. Go off Oscar.
So
Gracie.
Are we like annoyed that Anti-Hero is going to be like, it's just like the fit, like everybody like, oh, I'm the problem. Like, it's just like a such a social media thing. Like, I love it and I hate it at the same time.
I
love this song so much, but now people are,
I love the song. I hate when Taylor releases an album, there's always lyrics and it's everyone's caption. Everyone's making this, everyone's saying the sound. And I'm like, we are imbeciles as a species. And I'm sorry. That's just how I feel.
Exactly.
I don't care if you did it. I think if it brought you joy, then that's what that was correct for you. It is triggering for me.
For sure. I wanted to do it. Like the second time, the first moment I heard the song, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Perfect.
Everyone
like
has
TikTok
the same
stuff.
Ideas.
And then everybody had the same idea. And I was like, I guess I won't be using
it. I also go to therapy for everyone in life that doesn't go to therapy. So I'm like, yes, welcome to consciousness where, you are the problem. Start taking responsibility for all the issues in your life. We have known this.
Please, people need to know that. But first and foremost, what is altruism?
Isn't that like good stuff that you, like the good things that you do?
It's the belief or practice of disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others.
Selfless concern for the well-being of others. Okay, so the line is, did you hear my covert narcissism I disguise as altruism, which is the hardest line to sing of all time.
Like some kind of congressman.
It's like basically like stop caring about everyone else.
Do you think that she's calling herself a narcissist who's trying to conceal it by saying that like her goodness is it her or is she talking about a lot of other people?
I think probably a mix of both, right? Like it's kind of like, I think there's like, it's kind of like a normal thing to like want to be like a good person and like put yourself on a pedestal. Yeah, like I'm a good person. Kind of like, it's kind of like the negative side of karma, that karma is like a really like boastful song, like look how good of a person I am, like it's so fun. But then it's like that this song is like all about the inner demon, so it's kind of like maybe I'm not like that good of a person, maybe I'm like telling myself I am and that I do all this good stuff, but really it's just because like I'm obsessed with like public image, you know?
I have so many thoughts on just this song is so genius because an anti-hero is like a Batman or a Black Adam. It's someone who is doing something that they believe is right to bring justice to something, but maybe in a manner that other people disagree with. Like Batman like kills people, but he's a superhero, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, it's to save this. And I believe we are all, everyone says we're the main character of our own life. And I think through this song, Taylor's saying we're all anti-heroes, where we all think we're doing stuff. Like, everyone's pretty much self-serving, and that's the way that it should be. And she's sort of calling herself out, you know, by saying, like, I disguise it as altruism. And,
It's a genius. Like, I love, like, the random kind of, like, daughter-in-law kills me for the money. Like, it's such a random... Yeah. Is it a bridge? I don't know. Maybe bridge. And it's so random, but it's, like, my favorite part of the song. It's amazing. She's laughing up at us from hell. It's so funny. It's, like, just saying that she's going to be doing these sneaky little things always, like, putting in these little phrases just to, like, kind of dig at people. And I love it.
Yeah. And the line, I'll stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror, iconic. Yeah. Like, that's the line everyone should be saying, not on the problem, it's me. Because it's, like, look in the mirror. We're willing to look at everyone else. We're willing to get blind and literally do the worst thing, which is stare at the sun, except first look at within yourself in any situation and be like, well, where am I wrong in this? You know,
We're all taking different parts of the song and resonating with them differently. Like that's Lauren's part. Like that's your part. My part is the like the sexy baby. And then she's just like a monster crawling onto her town. And it's just like, I think that for me, it's like, there's always like an influx of new bachelor people, right? But for some reason, like I just like I'm still here.
I'm just a monster
am I accepted
on a hill.
Still? Am I accepted?
accepted. The
it's like probably
zombie.
Just me and Jared going to paradise with all the sexy babies.
That's funny, Ashley.
Whenever I hear the sexy baby, like, people think it's so funny because, like, what the fuck is a sexy baby, you know?
It's a sexy baby. It's like a TikTok star.
Is it? I think of Mean Girls when she's like, you smell like a baby prostitute.
Yeah. Okay. So sexy babies. Love it.
All right, well, we should move on to the next song.
We have so many to go over.
We're
covering 3 a.m. version, yes?
Oh, we have to. There's so many in there, yeah.
That's the only version I know.
Okay.
There's so many. Okay, Snow on the Beach. Do we need to talk about this or no?
I think, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Most notably because just the cursing has never been more evident.
Yeah.
than it is on this album. So purposeful.
And I mean, this one also, like, again, it's like such an obvious, like, Joe song, and it's kind of similar to like folklore Evermore vibes, like the way that she talks about him.
100%.
Like, long story short, and like Gold Rush just has like those kind of vibes.
Yes.
My favorite part though is like, I knew the second that she said featuring Lana Del Rey, I knew what we were in for, but people were so excited to hear Lana and Taylor on a song. But I knew every time she has a female artist on a song, besides like Phoebe Bridgers, I guess, it's going to be like background vocals. Since Fearless with Colby Calais, like, it's literally always been that. So it was really funny seeing people like be really upset about it. Like,
and I'm like, I wish we could hear Lana at all. It's like, well, it's Taylor's album.
To be honest, though, I kind of agree. Like, it's like, if you're going to feature someone, like, I always think, like, you know how rap artists, they're so good at this. It's like, everyone has their own verse.
Yeah. Like, that's
what I want a feature to be. Like, Justin Bieber singing Despacito and then having, you know what I mean? Like, the other parts of the song.
I guess she'll only do that with guys. And they don't sound drastically different, honestly. So I feel like it may be in there. But
Lana's like, her voice is unbelievable, though.
I thought because it was Lana too that there was a chance like she would sing a little bit more on it, and I kind of wish she did. I wish she had like her own little, or maybe like at the bridge had her own thing,
Like just like an ooh or an ah. But besides Lana being on here, this is just kind of a romantic song for Joe. You think?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like just having something. It reminds me so much of like Long Story Short, like Rare as a Glimmer of a Comet in the Sky. Like, it kind of has that vibe of like just like having this like happenstance, this like kind of like, like miracle from nature kind of vibes, which is how she sees it, which is really sweet. Like, that is the way to like describe a relationship, you know, like
so true.
It's so sweet.
It's weird, but fucking beautiful, which is why I love this song, because Taylor's one thing she's a master at is imagery. And like, if you listen to this in your car, it's like, of course I was like picturing her and it's snowing on a beach. And, but yeah,
before you book any lunch or dinner, you go over the list of reviews, right? You look at pictures and all of that. So why don't you do the same thing when you're looking for a doctor's appointment? It's like so silly. With ZocDoc, which is something that we love so much, we've talked about here on the podcast, you can see real verified patient reviews and help find the right doctor in your network, in your neighborhood, because finding a doctor honestly is more important than finding the right Eggs Benedict, even though, you know, here food is very important to us.
It is. But for me, what's most important for me is ease of booking, because my calendar is literally like trying to figure out Battleship. It's insane. And when you're trying to do that with a doctor, because typically I feel like when you see a doctor, sometimes, most of the time, it's like a timely sort of thing. You're like, I need to go in and see a doctor. And so the fact that you can like look at your calendar and conveniently book an appointment with a doctor that suits your needs, fits your schedule, is in your network, in your neighborhood, is easy. Like, it's literally, this is a no-brainer. If you don't know what ZocDoc is, it's a free app that shows you doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them.
So you go to ZocDoc.com. That is ZocDoc.com/get it. And you can download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/get it. ZocDoc.com/get it.
I wanted to ask Oscar a quick question before I forget. Where is Zoe Kravitz in this album? Because she was in a picture.
Yeah, she wrote a couple. I know she did Karma. She co-wrote Karma, I think Lavender Haze, and one more.
Whoa. Like lyrically?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, she co-wrote.
I had no idea.
What an interesting pairing.
Yeah.
I know. It's kind of cool. I feel like this album, she was like chill about it because she just had like, I think whoever she was like hanging out with, she was like, you want to like work on a song?
But it's not even who she's hanging out with. I think she's very particular now since Reputation and Remember like Bad and all that. And then she's like friends with some people and not. She is very particular with who she surrounds herself with. And if you think about it, Lana and Zoe represent like the hottest, coolest, chillest people in pop culture.
Totally. Yes.
Like the most non-tryhards, just absolutely cool people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the next song is You're On Your Own, Kid. And this I probably maybe have listened to once or twice. I don't know why it doesn't resonate with me.
I also am looking at the all the track names and I'm like, this one, I don't really know what it's about.
I love this song.
I like it.
Oscar, to disappoint you.
No, I like it. I like it. But just like, is there something to really break down here?
I feel like this song. I think so. Yeah, this one is like, well, it's a track five. So obviously, like, it means a lot to her. And then I think, like, this
What? Why track five mean
track
a lot?
Track five on every album why would a track is five always mean like the. Yeah, the these songs, like White Horse, Dear
Delicate.
John, Delicate. Right?
Was Delicate five?
Yeah.
All Too Well was
so
five.
She always puts like the like her most emotional or like personal song is track five. And this one, it kind of reminds me of like The Archer from Lover, where it's like it's sad because it's like so introspective. Like how I relate to it is that like heartbreak from like a guy is one thing, but it's like another thing to kind of break your own heart. And it's kind of like she's looking at it all the time like she broke her, like she was like too hard on herself, and like it's like her looking back at all her past like younger selves and telling her that it's gonna be okay. So like the beginning of the song is like it's like that first album, right? It's like Teardrops on My Guitar, where she like put everything like in a guy and she hated everything, but she thought as long as this one guy likes me, like I'll be okay. And it turns out like he didn't like her back and she thought her world was over. And then she started her music career. And like that second verse, she talks about like singing in the parking lot and how like she wanted to run away from her town, like make music her thing. But then once she started making it, like she looked around and saw everyone with better bodies that had like the same dream as her. And she realized, okay, like maybe I'm not special. Like everyone wants what I want, you know? And then it kind of like escalates to all the, like the lessons she's learned as she like went into adulthood. And it all like builds up to like that bridge, and the bridge goes off like crazy. Where it like, I looked around in a blood soaked gown and saw something that they can't take away. So it's like kind of like all that Reputation stuff. And God only knows like what else she might've like gone through other stuff too, but it's like, now she like has Joe, she like knows who she is as an artist. She's really confident, obviously, like in her art and that she can sell, and that I think she's not boastful about it, but she knows that she's like the best-selling artist now. So it literally tells like her whole story, like as an artist.
It's almost like Adele too, where like Adele's last album 30 was very much about like her going to therapy and like, you know, being like, I'm 30 now and this is how I feel. And like, I was singing about this stuff, like the same thing we're saying with Taylor. And I love it because at the end of the day, Taylor has to like hold herself, and like, you have to be whole on your own. Like she couldn't let Joe love her if she wasn't loving herself.
Yeah.
And so she finally loves herself, knows she's a bad bitch, and like, she's on her own. I think.
She's on her own, kid.
I love Midnight a lot. The next track.
Midnight Rain.
What's it about?
Yeah.
Midnight Rain.
Good.
Midnight Rain. I just like the cool vibe to it. I like that weird man's voice. Who is the weird man?
I think it's just her.
No.
I'm sure it's just a toned down version.
I think it's just like a vocoder.
No.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
I can't even, wait, I can't even like listen to this song. Yeah, that's her pitch down.
We sure does.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me change that part. That's her.
Yeah, I thought that was like, dude, stop. Thanks for the revelation.
You're welcome.
That is so funny.
I love her line, my boy was a montage.
Yeah, slow motion.
God, the lyrics of Midnight Rain are one of the best on that whole
thing. Who is she talking about?
I could definitely be wrong. My theory is Taylor Lautner because of how...
Wait, that's so weird. Really? That you said that because I thought that too, and I was like, it can't be Taylor Lautner. Come on now. I thought that she had no attachment to him.
Because, like we said, like she's going back to like looking back at all of the past stuff, and she had someone who was like, that's like the one guy she sang about where she like broke his heart. And I think the big line to me, I mean, besides like that overall like vibe of like being the one to break something off, but like making my own name, I feel like that's like a double entendre almost.
Yes, Taylor, making my own. God, Oscar, this is why we love you.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Facts. I mean, not facts. Theories.
I'm like so excited to hear that you also think it's about Taylor.
I thought it was crazy. Yes. I'm like, because I don't like, I cut that one to my, I keep the theories to myself because there's so many now and like people are so like aggro about it. So I'm just like, you know, so I didn't tweet about it because Twitter is like wild. But that, like, the first time I listened to it.
Doesn't every person have that person in their life that, like, you wish that you could have had great, like, great love with, but, like, you just never felt that way about them? You were like, oh, they had this and they had that. And it was like, there was, like, chemistry, but there wasn't enough attraction. Mm-hmm. There's, like, something, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's Taylor.
You literally.
But, I mean, Taylor is adorable in every single way. But,
this is totally him. Now I'm looking at the lyrics again, it's just totally him. And she never thinks of him unless it's midnights like this. Like,
he never thinks of her except when she's on TV.
He's got his own Taylor now. Yeah. He's got another Taylor.
Yeah. And I love when she says, except on midnights like this. I love the name of the album. I think this is my favorite name of an album she's ever had. Red, and I like Fearless, but like Midnights is so cool because it symbolizes so much. Like when you're up at night thinking about things at midnight or things feel a little deeper or more emotional at that time. Mm-hmm. But what you were saying, like my favorite Taylor songs are the ones when they're about that. Like if only this was different, you know, or in another lifetime. Yeah. Kind of sentiment. Yeah.
Okay, so Question is the next song. And
this one of my favorite stuff is about.
Not about Karlie Kloss.
It's not?
There's no way it's not.
What do you mean? Oh, there's no way it's not. Okay.
So we're starting off.
Oscar, take it over.
Oh, I was going to say, we're starting off literally good girl, sad boy. I think she's talking about Karlie. And sad boy would be Maddie Healy because she kissed her at a Maddie Healy concert or a 1975 concert. Big city. He was in New York. Wrong choices. They were all drunk. And then it keeps going on and on and on. And there is no way it's not. So Oscar, what do you think?
See, I have like a Haler agenda. Like Haler was a very important time in my life because like Taylor is like my sister and Harry was my crush at the time. So for me, it's like, I can't date Harry Styles, but Taylor is, and by proxy, like that's my sister. So I kind of am in the relationship almost. Like I play a part in it. So that's how I viewed it because I knew it wasn't like a girl who had a chance with him, you know? So I loved Haler. Like the photos of them like at the Central Park Zoo, I can just think of it right now. Like you don't.
I could see it. She was wearing a dress, right?
No, she was wearing a sweater, the fox sweater. Oh, fox. Hair in a ponytail. Yeah. To me, I instantly thought of Harry Styles because have you ever kissed somebody in a crowded room? And there's like video in New York. But also it begins with I Remember, which is how which is similar to Out of the Woods. And Out of the Woods was about Harry Styles, like so specifically. Because it is like it's really odd like how like similar like the I Remembers are. Like I feel like that has to be on purpose. But I do, now that you said the Karlie Kloss, I could see that. Although I'm not a Gaylor, like, I personally am not a Gaylor, mm-hmm. but I could see it.
I could see it. I don't think it's necessarily true, but like, it's just very obvious to me that it could be her, but it's maybe because I went into it thinking about them, you know? But if I went into it thinking about Harry Styles, then I could totally see that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all perception. This is my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, I think this is one of my
Is that crazy? Precious? Yeah. I love the line. Like, I remember when, you know, when you first hear it and you're not fully into all the lyrics, you're just like, okay, I want to see how this sounds. Or, and when she said, have you ever kissed someone in, you know, the middle of a crowded room? I was like, oh, that line is just so good. It's so Taylor. I love this song so much.
By the way.
So what I need to, can we like, okay, karma and vigilante shit. Can we put them together right now? Cause I almost feel like they're like the same theme.
Yes. Put them together.
Okay. Vigilante, obviously it's like just so obvious. It's still about like the reputation stuff. Kim, Kanye, mostly Kanye at this point. She can't get over doing it. She just loves it.
I think also that's the thing too, is like, it could also be Scooter Braun because he also got a divorce.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is funny. The fact that... that's my mother right there, because she's like making fun of like the wife leaving him. Just Scooter Braun and Kanye both got divorces like around the same time. And I feel like maybe more so Scooter Braun. I feel like she wouldn't talk to Kim, but I feel like maybe she would talk to Scooter's ex-wife.
Yeah. I wish that she would talk to Kim, guys. This is my dream. This is my celebrity couple dream or friendship that could emerge because Kanye is out of the picture, is a reconciliation between Kim.
I think we'll see it. If Katie
and them taking over and being like, fuck you, Kanye. Yeah,
I think if Katie and Taylor can come together, I think.
There's hope, yeah.
Katy Perry.
Yeah.
I don't know. This was worse.
All I have
to
say about these songs are they're my least favorite. I don't like anything that sounds like Reputation.
Really?
Reputation is my least favorite album. I don't resonate. It's like, I think of Taylor as a director. You know how there's like movie directors and sometimes they direct different things. The most I resonate with Taylor when she's like country and lovey and this guy and stuff. When she's talking about other things, it's great. It's just not for me. Like, I don't care as much and I don't love the sound as much from her.
I love it.
Oscar and I love the vengeful shit.
I know. You guys are just like bad little bitches.
Yeah, you love vengeful Taylor. I don't like it.
Can I just say, like, when the song starts and she's like, draw a cat eye sharp enough to kill a man or whatever the fuck it is? I feel almost secondhand embarrassment because it's kind of embarrassing. I don't know.
Lauren and I feel the same thing. Like, it's like cringe because I think Taylor at her core just isn't.
Because she's not that. Yeah.
Or our perception of her. I don't know her.
Think I am that. Like, I am not. Like, at my core, I am not really like that at all. But sometimes I, like, want to be. You know, like, sometimes that's how I imagine.
That's why Oscar and I love this. Because we feel Taylor's awkwardness. Because, like, we are like her. We're just like, this would never naturally come out of me. So let my alter ego take forward. Yeah, yeah. Which, it'll never come out coolly.
Yeah, and Lauren and I are like, it's an alter ego. Like, just say just you hate someone. Man. Yeah.
Yeah,
Or, like, stick to loving and, I don't know. No, she can do whatever she wants. I would never tell her to stick to anything.
Yeah, she could do it. I did see that this is just basically all about Kim. And that's...
Karma definitely is more so, I feel like, about Kim.
So Bejeweled, because you guys love that one. I have nothing to say about Bejeweled, really. It doesn't strike me, but I think a lot of people like it.
I resonate with every single lyric. Basically, when you're in a relationship for so long... And you've kind of lost, like, you kind of feel like, oh, am I hot anymore? Am I, like, I'm so stagnant?
Oh, this is why I don't relate.
Exactly. It's like, I can still.
This is the lame song, Lauren. This is our Lizzie Moore, Ashley Lauren group song, where it's truly about, like, oh, my God, did I lose my sparkle? Did I lose everything that's ever made me interesting? Yes. If I go to a concert, am I going to feel like the hot girl again?
But then you literally, like when we went to that wedding in New York and I put on my black dress and I felt really good and I felt like, oh, my God, I can still pull this off if I want to. And like, you kind of have that confidence put back in you. And I was like, I feel every fucking word. And there was one that was like, wait, hold on. Oh, wait, sorry, I'm on Karma.
Hold on. Yeah, and when I meet the band, they ask, do you have a man? And I can still say I don't remember. Yeah, this is why I don't resonate. I'm single.
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember, but like the band wants to know, blah, 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 blah. You know, so.
I'm like, no, girl, I never had a man.
And also, it's fun. Like, it sounds good. It sounds good. It's fun. I feel every lyric. It's amazing.
Same.
Yeah. Love, love, love. Okay, so Mastermind, of course.
Wait, sorry, Oscar, did you have anything to say about Bejeweled?
Literally same. It's the only thing I have to say is that it's laced with something because I cannot. It's like so addictive and it gives me a high.
Gives me such a high. I like roll the windows down and I'm like, oh. Like I'm still with you. Best believe I'm not trash. Yeah.
That was the song that when I was listening to for the first time, I was like, oh yeah, fuck
yeah, this is it. Is it? Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Okay, so maybe you're someone who listens to Taylor's music to get through something that's really hard, right? Mm. And it is definite listening to albums and knowing that there are other people out there that relate to you is for sure a form of therapy for me. But it doesn't replace real therapy and real looking within yourself, kind of like Taylor reflects on in her song, You're On Your Own, Kid. I really feel like that's true. Like, we are on our own and it's up to us to make sure that we love ourselves and we feel full. And life just doesn't come with a user manual. So when it's not working out for you, sometimes you feel stuck. And I think it's important to take your brain and your mental health to the doctor as much as it's important to take your physical body to the doctor. So if you've never done therapy, I highly recommend BetterHelp. Or if you're looking for a therapist because you're not happy with yours, you want to try it out. It's this huge, it's like the world's largest therapy service. They've matched 3 million people professionally. They've matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists, and they are available 100% online. Plus it's affordable. And then Ashley, tell them the only thing they have to do.
Oh, it's the easiest thing. So you just fill out this brief questionnaire and it's going to match you with a therapist. And again, if things aren't clicking with that therapist, you can easily switch to a new therapist at any time. Couldn't be more simple. Don't worry. No feelings are going to get hurt. No waiting rooms, no traffic, and no endless searching for the right therapist. And now you can save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/get it. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/get it.
Everyone, get out your notes. We're going to be skipping a couple songs.
Okay, go ahead, Ashley. Mastermind.
Who is Mastermind about manifesting? Which guy?
I think.
Is it Joe?
I 100% think Joe.
Yeah.
I think Al Alwyn, right? There's multiple Joes in her life.
That's true. Yeah.
No, yeah, sorry. We've skipped over Joe Jonas. They're just friends now. She feels silly.
it doesn't mean a song can't be about them, you know?
But I think that it's, especially with the way that her and Joe got together when it was like kind of like that complicated time of Calvin, Tom Hiddleston, you know, Joe, it kind of makes sense. But also I think she's having fun with the like Easter egg things and all like the stands going crazy with like the theories and stuff. Like, I think she's also playing into that a bit too. I think it's like a little bit, she's bragging to about Joe, she's bragging to us, like she'd be planning stuff.
Okay, well then I'm looking at the track list and I skip over Great War, The Great World. That is my least favorite song on the album.
What? Great War is such an incredible piece of music. Good.
I'm so sorry. Really,
Oscar, talk about The Great War.
Oh, I love it. Okay, first of all, I know that there's like a big historical thing about like the World War I, and like she makes a lot of like historical references. Listen, I'm not a historian, so I can't give you any of that. But the whole thing about, I think the freaking lyrics where she talks about like her bruises being violet, like the way that she describes that, it's so good. Like the whole idea of like this kind of conflict between her, probably about Joe, being like a war and like going back to like head to head, like not having that peace. And when she talks about maybe it was like the insecurities, thinking that he was like flirting with someone else, and like there was like no way that they can make peace because she had that like insecurity. Oh, I love it. And then it goes into the bridge where she talks about where she just like makes peace with it, and like they lay the weapons down and her relationship was better because of it. That's amazing to me. It was so good. Uh-huh.
It's really, because it's like, I need a fucking history book for this song, I swear.
But it's incredible how she's able to weave things like that into her own love story. They're allegories, which is why it's like a marvel, even if you don't enjoy the song, to like look at, you know?
I'll have to go back and re-listen to it. I feel like I'm missing out on greatness here. Pun intended. The two songs that, while looking at the track list, I'm really most excited to talk about is Bigger Than the Whole Sky and High Infidelity. So Bigger Than the Whole Sky. This feels so nostalgic to me. It's like it's very visual. And I've got to know what's it about.
This song is like, it's so sad. I listen to this song the least just because it's so sad.
It's sad.
It's so sad.
Melancholy. Yeah.
And
melancholy for the fuck.
I said it, Lauren. I said melancholy.
Okay.
I said it for the correct.
No, well, actually, we're going to replay. We're going to replay.
Melancholy. Go ahead.
There's a lot of articles. About how it's like a song about miscarriage, which like it like I couldn't I it makes me too sad.
Really sad.
I know, and it's like I couldn't like I don't even like I couldn't even like speculate about that because it's like so personal, but I feel like, which I do understand, like that I understand like that like analysis of the song for sure. And I think that if it is about that, like, it doesn't have to be her. It could be, like, her, like, a friend.
Yeah.
Or someone she knows, because there's, like, a lot of songs that she, like, All I Speak Now was, like, written from where she talked to someone and got inspired by someone else's life. But I think that makes sense, though, for, like, the lyrics. And, it's, like, it's just...
I remember this song she sang to her mom.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
It's always that song where I listen to it and I'm like,
You'll get better.
High Infidelity is also, I love it just as much as Question. I think those are my favorites. I want to hear all Oscar's thoughts on High Infidelity.
This one too. I mean, this is kind of like is this the getaway car song that you were thinking about, Lauren?
Correct. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So it 100% gives me that vibes and like looking about it, looking back at it differently. And I love that like Calvin Harris was like her most public relationship, and that like he's like the one guy that like does not get a real song, like does not get a song.
It was our longest relationship with the least amount of songs.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah, and she's like just trying to escape him in all those songs, like Getaway Car.
Yeah, like Put On Your Headphones is like, and he's a freaking DJ. It's so funny. I love how she looks back.
But who do we think that the cheat is with? Because we always think it's with Tom Hiddleston is who we always think the cheat is with. But in this case, met October 29th? I mean, April 29th? What happened that day?
Yes, we must.
Oscar, where were you? where was Taylor?
Well, isn't the Met Gala, the first?
It's always the first Monday in May. But last year, it was in September.
But this would have been...
Yeah, because of the pandemic.
This would have been the bleach hair. So that does like a line up with Tom. Like if April, she already...
Yeah, she probably made like a pre-party or something, a hotel or something before.
Can I just say that I've met Tom, I've interviewed him once and I've met him in person after that interview. And man, do they make sense.
Really?
And I've never met Taylor, but I don't know. I was like, holy shit. I just, being a fan of Taylor and listening to her music and then meeting this charm, amazing, incredible, like man with this accent and that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, I could feel like the spark of them meeting and just meeting him. And I'm kind of sad they're not together.
That was my least favorite. Actually, Calvin Harris was my least favorite, but Tom was my second least favorite. That was the one I was like.
But I think it's because you don't know much about Tom, Oscar. I think if you met him and you knew him, I think they actually make the most sense. They make more sense to me than her and Joe. But again, I don't know much about Joe.
Yeah. I think we're all just kind of uncomfortable with it all because we were like, Calvin Harris doesn't really make sense. But then we were also kind of like, oh, this this is a whirlwind 2 week romance sort of thing that we knew wasn't going to be anything. So then we didn't get time to like it really.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm stuck on Bigger Than the Whole Sky being about marriage. I mean, being about miscarriage. I'm like,
wait,
I'm so stuck.
Oh, really?
My heart is heavy. Gosh,
that sucks. Well, let's talk about Paris to lift your heart. Does that, is that about
Paris.
Joe?
That's my least. That's, I take that back. Paris is my least favorite song.
It
Paris
was whatever.
A silly song.
It's silly. It's,
is it about Joe, though?
I think so, right? Because it's like, it's kind of like similar to Lavender Haze, where it's like not really caring about anything anyone's saying because like you're so in, just like in the present moment with like your current relationship. The only thing, it's so silly. I like it a lot. The one thing that gets me every, like pulls me out of it is like sitting in the shade and not the kind that's thrown. I mean, sitting under where a tree has grown. I was like, Taylor, be serious. Like that was such a serious thing. She was being really unserious when she wrote that. But I mean, that's her. That really is her.
That is her. Oh,
okay, hilarious. Glitch and would've, could've, should've.
Would've, could've, should've. I love
about woulda, coulda,
shoulda. It's like my
I'm so confused why she says woulda, coulda, shoulda so much in Bigger Than the Whole Sky and then names this other song, you know.
Woulda, coulda,
shoulda. Yeah, well, something weird just happened to my computer.
You sounded great. Oscar, what do you think? Is there a connection there?
I don't know. I feel like, to me, it's like so I don't know. This one is like so obvious, like John Mayer vibes. And I think I also know that like how she gets when she writes is sometimes she likes the idea of a lyric and then she'll just like use that. And I think especially with these being like the bonus tracks, I mean, that's kind of like the vibe I get is that like she likes the phrase and then wanted to use it, you know, and then maybe and then kind of had like the two songs that used it. But then she put it on the 3 AM version as like the bonus tracks.
That's kind of the vibe. A bonus song. I love it. I don't know why it would be bonus. I guess it doesn't matter. Usually all the bonus ones are bops.
Yeah. What do you mean? Clean was like the most iconic bonus we've ever gotten.
Wasn't Clean the last song on the first on the album? The last song on the album.
Clean was.
It was the last, but it was an extra, right? Wasn't it a bonus?
The extra was like New Romantics.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, because it was at the end, I thought of it in that way, I think.
But, I mean, it's also like the vault songs. Like, there's a lot of really good vault songs, and she makes those singles. So I think she kind of just threw it out there. But I mean, this is like one of it doesn't really fit on the album almost, but it kind of reminds me more like sonically of like Evermore. But it's so good. Like the lyrics are in like the way that she's insane. Looking back at this relationship, absolutely insane. And every time I listen to it, I'm always like, shit, like she has these lines and like they're so pointed and like so visceral that like every time I listen to it, I'm like, holy crap, like this should definitely have been like on like the main like 13 because it's that good.
Okay, what lyric is like specifically speaking to your soul?
I love like give me back my girlhood, it was mine first.
Oh my god, when I was reading that, I was like reading the lyrics as I was singing, goosebumps all over my body. Holy crap, so good. And then also when she just says, in the God's honest truth, the pain was heaven. Fuck yeah, it was. The pain is heaven.
Yes, the pain is often heaven. Yeah, pain is often say, that's heaven. Like, that could be like the lyric of this whole podcast.
The pain is heaven.
The pain was heaven.
Pain was heaven. I love very poetic, my friends.
And then when she goes into like, when she says like, like the tomb won't close, and then she rhymes it with like the wound won't close.
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Like she went off on this album. And I hope John Mayer never has a day of peace again.
I was gonna say John Mayer wrecked her soul still to this day, but I think he was the one that made her a woman. Like
he's
everything changed.
So many people's souls. Yeah. Like it's wild, actually. According to them, not according to John.
But I guess, how do we differentiate Jake to John in lyrics?
I think because Dear John was, like, so specific, like, don't you think 19's too young?
That's, like, the most shade she's ever thrown at anyone.
Yeah.
Even over All Too Well. Because All Too Well was more like, I'm it's hurt subtle. By this. Yeah.
Now, was John Mayer and Jake Gyllenhaal, like, was she both 19?
They were
close.
Yeah, really close.
Jake was afterward.
Jake was afterward.
Yeah, I think Taylor might have been like 20, but like, because
2021.
Yeah, because okay. Jake was right after Speak Now came out, and then Jake inspired Speak Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean Jake inspired
Red? I mean, John. John inspired Speak Now.
Oh, John inspired, yeah. And Jake inspired
Jake
more
Gyllenhaal
Red with Harry.
With now?
Oh, an older woman. She's like older.
Oh.
Yeah.
Finally.
Oh. Yeah.
Damn, Oscar shady. Okay. Last song, Dear Reader. Oscar, take it away.
I love this song. So it's like, it took me a second to like really understand it because like the Dear Reader part is so like repetitive, but it's like the perfect way to like end this album because she's, it's like literally just like a love, it's like a love letter to like the fans. And it kind of ties back into Antihero with like the whole like inner demons and like self-doubt thing. Like, she knows like how much people like look up to her and people like use her as like a role model, but she's basically saying like, why would you take your advice from me when I'm like a fucking mess? Like, you really shouldn't be listening to me.
Yeah. Samantha Jones, it's like the blind leading the blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just like it all like builds up to like that bridge, and it kind of feels, it almost feels like how she thought about herself, like Reputation vibes, like kind of like bruised, battered, like broken, like not really like just questioning her self-worth. And she talks about like going home alone, like, you know, she's someone who's known for writing love songs, but she was so alone, like she had no one to go back to, like when she was at the end of the day. So it's just like that song is just like, it's like the perfect like way to end Midnights, you know?
Yeah. What do you think? That was such a beautiful breakdown. Do you guys have thoughts on Dear Readers?
Not particularly.
I don't have many.
Usually
either.
Don't have that much time left in the car at this point when I get to the end of the album. So I'm able
the
to
song
listen
I've listened to least. My friend, I keep referring to my cryptic friend. she thinks that she came up like the inspiration to this album was her going back and like re-recording the other albums and feeling those eras of her life so intensely that she was inspired to write separate songs about those eras. What do you think? Do you think the re-records has anything to do with it?
I love that theory, and I like subscribe.
That's literally the exact same thing that I think of too, because like there's no way that you could like, especially knowing the way that she like thinks about her music, like she said when she would perform All Too Well, like even though it was years after, like every time she performed it, she would cry for like a really long time. Cause she like, the way that she sings, she has to put herself back in the moment. So I think doing these re-recordings and then also doing the vault songs for sure, like it has to put you back in like that state of like where you were at that time, you know? And it has to, there's no way you couldn't like reflect on your life when you're singing these songs that are about such a specific like moment. You know?
I love what you said, that she cried after All Too Well, because she is, if you think about it, quite literally the most vulnerable, the most like hard on your sleeve, like this is who I am, and to share it with the world and to admit it and for people to know who she dated, like it is so like bearing your soul to sing these songs as her.
I wouldn't be able to get through any of the songs.
Yeah, I'm saying.
So we applaud you, Taylor. all right, well, thanks for listening to our Taylor Swift breakdown. Once again, let us know what you thought, if we missed any little Easter eggs, I guess, to the songs.
I think we should wrap up this podcast by quickly naming the top four. Oh, I don't know. Never mind. Maybe this is a bad idea. I was going to say our top four Taylor albums.
What? I can't think. I need a fucking notebook. I need a
know. Minor, Speak Now, Red, Folklore.
1989.
For me, Speak Now,
that
Red.
I fucking love Fearless,
I think Reputation, and then... Wait, Speak Now, 1989, Red, and and Reputation. So it's like those consecutive ones.
Mine is, and this is such an unpopular opinion, and I'm not saying it's her best, Lover, because the half of Lover that I love is I love so much.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Lover, Reputation, Speak Now, I would say Red, but Midnight's is like really, it's really okay, vibing.
I could see Midnight's and Red being, I don't know, Red is just such a.
I know.
I don't know, guys, this is really hard, but I just know 1989, Red, and wait, what album was Clean on?
1989.
That was 1989.
Oh, okay. 1989, Red, I almost want to say this one, and Speak Now. Okay, thank you all.
Love it.
All right, great.
Okay.
Fantastic. Yay.
Yay. Oscar, we love you. We love Taylor.
It's a pleasure always.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Miss you. Bye.
Bye, friends.
Bye. I don't get it. Podcast.